Thank you, Joseph. Good morning. Happy New Year. The first Sunday of 2018. Can anybody relate to this picture on the screen? One of the guys in the sound booth said, should we put that up immediately, or didn't know if there was going to be a story first? And I said, everybody's living this story. Don't even need a story. Burr, it's cold outside. Sometimes it's cold inside, right? But with this kind of weather going on. But it's good to be able to start a new year together. As most of you know, our assembly since the year 2000 has begun every year with a theme, a focus that the elders, hopefully led by the Lord, have selected that we as an assembly might emphasize and focus on, never to the exclusion of anything else in the Word of God, but rather something that we can unitedly zero in on and work together as we move through the year. And we did that last year with what we called one anothering in 2017, looking at and hopefully applying the one another commands in the New Testament. And that was an inward focus, a very much needed focus inwardly to us as an assembly. But we know we need to be balanced in our perspective. And so this year we're going to be looking at getting outside in 2018. And that's going to be our theme, get outside in 2018. Going from that inward focus, building up the body, strengthening our relationships, ensuring that we are biblical in the way that we're interacting with one another, and then taking that and what we gain from that and taking that outside, if you will. You know, this idea of getting outside is something that is often encouraged in a literal way, you might say, in the outside. I came across this and thought this was really a neat little slide. The original PlayStation. All right, some of you might remember the original PlayStation before the ones that you just used your fingers came on. And the thought here is get outside, or get real and get outside. And we're going to be looking at that. And this morning I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at a little phrase really throughout the year, and we're going to look at several scriptures this morning, but this is going to be our text scripture this morning, and the phrase is those who are outside, those who are outside. That's the way that the New King James Version translates this phrase from the Greek. The King James is those who are without. If you have a different translation, it may say something else, but I'm sure it's very similar. Those who are outside, and here in Colossians chapter 4, notice there, I put verses 4 and 5 on the screen, but it should be 5 and 6. 5 and 6, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Notice there in verse 5, the phrase, those who are outside. Now, keep your place here because we're going to be using Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. But also, if you would, turn to several of the passages quickly. The next book in your New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, and go over to the 4th chapter. The 4th chapter and the 12th verse. In fact, we will start our reading, if you wouldn't mind, in the middle of a verse, verse 10. This chapter is often known, as we think about the end of the chapter, about the Lord Jesus returning at the rapture. But notice about in the middle of verse 10, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. So he encourages them to continue and to grow in their love for each other, and also in the way that they practically live their everyday lives, that they might walk properly toward those who were outside. Okay, if you would, turn over just two more books to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll refer back to all of these passages without returning to them in our Bibles, looking at them. So, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and here Paul is sharing with Timothy about the qualifications of an elder. So think about the qualifications of an elder. We know that those who lead in the assembly should meet these qualifications. Therefore, we would say that these are the qualifications really for every man in the assembly, and I think that many of them would also apply to the women who are believers in fellowship in a local assembly. Notice here in chapter 3, in verse 7, speaking of the potential elder, "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." One more passage in your New Testament. We're going to go backwards this time to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and as Paul addresses this church in Corinth, we see that he is dealing here specifically with church discipline. And at the end of that passage, as he instructs them regarding dealing with specifically sexual immorality, but there are applications to other sins as well, and he mentions covetousness, idolatry, reviling, drunkenness, extortion. Notice in verse 12, here's our application for what we're looking at for those outside. Look at verse 12. "For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." So he speaks there of that unrepentant person who has professed to be a believer but continues in sin. So we find this challenge here for those who are inside. And it is a challenge for us. We think about being inside. What are we talking about? It's the contrast with being outside. And here we find that in verse 12. He talks about those who were outside, but he also refers specifically to those who are inside. I've got some references here. We're not going to take the time this morning to go look at them specifically. But this thought of being inside is a thought of being in Christ. Philippians 1:1, as well as many other references in the New Testament, particularly in the epistles, speak of being in Christ. So when we think of those who are inside, we think of those who have that position before God as being in Christ, much as we think of Noah and that ark, and he and his family were inside the ark. They were in the ark, that place of safety. 1 Corinthians 12:18. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks much of the believers as parts of a body. And there we read in verse 18 about being in the body. Again, speaking of those who are in Christ, who are in the body of Christ. In that same chapter, verse 28, he speaks about being in the church. Now today, if you say, "I'm in the church," some people will think that you're in a building that you call the church. That's not what he's speaking of here. He's speaking of those who have been called out by God from the world, have responded, come to the Lord Jesus in faith, believing that he alone is the way to God, the way to forgiveness of sins, the way to a relationship with God that will last forever, the way to escape and avoid hell. And that is the church. Those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you are placed in the church, called to the Lord Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 12:5, the last of the insides that we'll mention this morning, this thought of being in the faith. In the faith. Knowing the truth of God's Word, believing what God says about those who are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sins and eternal life, believing that He died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again, and have received Him alone as our Savior and have trusted Him. He says, I made you a new creation, and now you are inside, you are in the faith. And those of us who are in the faith, who are in the church, who are in the body, who are in Christ, we are the ones that Paul refers to in these different letters as being those who are inside, in contrast to those who are outside. Well, we're going to see that being inside is not like being in a country club or in an elite organization where you sit inside and just enjoy each other and don't worry about those outside, except maybe feeling sorry for them that they're not able to be inside like you're being inside. And I'm not saying that everybody who's in a country club or an elite organization has that attitude. I don't want to wrongly insinuate that, but I think you get the idea. So we might think about being on the inside. We might ask the question, why do we need to focus on outreach? And the reason is because we tend to resist getting outside. Why? Well, for one reason, getting outside is uncomfortable, excuse me. I hear Charlie Brown and Snoopy kind of tell us what's going on right now. It's cold outside. You see, often it's uncomfortable outside. That's why we have heat. That's why we have air conditioning inside. That's why we have comfortable seats, because if you went outside and we had the meeting outside this morning, it would be uncomfortable. Therefore, we want to stay inside. Well, the same thing is true for us who are in Christ. You see, to go outside our comfort zone is uncomfortable. It's natural for us to avoid situations that are awkward or painful or difficult. And when we think about reaching out, when we think about getting outside, oftentimes our thought, particularly when we think about representing the Lord Jesus outside and taking the gospel to those who are outside, we think of it exactly in that way. It's going to be awkward. It's going to hurt. They might reject me. It's going to be difficult. I'm not sure what to say. Getting outside is uncomfortable, so we need to be challenged to get outside. Also, getting outside is dangerous. If you go outside, you might be attacked by a rabid raccoon. That is possible. You might get poison ivy. Not today, but you might get poison ivy. You might fall off a cliff. You might trip on a rock. All of those things are true if you go outside. You see, it's dangerous outside, so as this slide says, you should stay inside. Again, it is natural for us because we're safety conscious, and rightly so to a degree. So we try to stay away from circumstances that are precarious or risky or threatening. And we might say, well, it's dangerous. If I get outside with those who are outside, it may rub off on me. And that's true. There's a danger. We've got to be careful. We are influenced by the people that we spend time with. We need to be wise. But should that keep us from getting outside? No. Therefore, we need to be challenged. So we need to be challenged because it's difficult for us, because getting outside is uncomfortable, it's dangerous, and getting outside is inconvenient, like this lady is bemoaning. The weather outside is nice today, but I'm too busy inside to go outside. You see, sometimes we don't want to get outside because there's a lot going on already in our lives where we are on the inside. We're busy. And so our normal response is to shun opportunities which are going to interfere with our already busy schedule or may sidetrack us from things that we know we need to get done on the inside. Now, I do want to make an important notice here, okay? An important note. Don't miss this. To get outside does not mean that you leave inside, okay? Don't want you to get the wrong idea there. Getting outside and reaching out to those who are outside does not mean that you are no longer in Christ, or that somehow you leave being a part of the body, or now you're not in the faith, or now somehow you're not a part of the church anymore. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that. We're speaking figuratively here. Obviously, if I go outside of this building, I'm no longer inside of this building. But spiritually speaking, what Paul is speaking of here is not leaving the inside to go outside, but rather it's to stay inside and yet get outside. In spite of the fact that outside it's uncomfortable, it's dangerous, and it's inconvenient, you may think of some other things that would demotivate us from getting outside. So we need motivation. Charlie Brown and Snoopy said, not going outside today. Not going outside today. I don't know if it's because it's cold, or because it's dangerous, or because it's inconvenient, or he just wanted to be a couch potato that day. I don't know. But we need motivation to get outside. And since we need incentive to overcome these hindrances, this morning we're going to briefly consider four reasons that we should get outside in 2018. Four reasons that we should get outside in 2018, and hopefully this will encourage us, motivate us, be incentive for us to follow through together on this idea of getting outside, of getting involved, reaching out in the lives of those who are outside. Let's see what we can learn regarding this. First of all, we should get outside because it's better inside. We should get outside because it's better inside. Now, you might immediately think, well, that sounds a little contradictory. If it's so much better inside, why would I want to get outside? At the watch night service, I shared a little brief devotional on this whole idea, and I mentioned a comedian's conversation with some friends who were trying to get him to go camping. And he said, if it's so great outside, then why not all the bugs trying to get in my house? So if it's better inside, why in the world would I want to go outside? Well, first of all, let's think about how it is better inside. To be in Christ, to be in the faith, to be in the body, to be in the church. In what sense is that better? Well, we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. To those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Praise God. God does not condemn us. Who can condemn us? We read later in that chapter. Christ is the one who died for us and rose again, and He's our representative. To be in Christ is to know that I'm not condemned any longer by God. You know, those who are outside, the Bible says we don't have to condemn them because they're condemned already. John chapter 3. They're already condemned. They're already under judgment, just like we were before we received the grace of God. Before we received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were under condemnation, but no longer. It's better inside, because when we're in Christ, we have Christ as our wisdom. He is how we know how to live life. And Paul goes on to write there in that verse that as our wisdom, He is our righteousness. He is our right standing before God. The Lord Jesus Christ, when we're in Christ, He is our sanctification. Because of Him, we are set apart to God, to live for Him, to represent the Lord Jesus, to allow the life of the Lord Jesus to be lived out through us by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Because we are in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul goes on to say, as our wisdom is also our redemption. He has bought us back to God. We have a relationship with God. We have been brought out of the slave market of sin, where we had chosen to be and where we belonged, and we've been brought out by seeing the Lord Jesus as the Redeemer, and we've trusted Him as our Savior. If that's true of you, then you are in Christ, and it's better inside. It's better inside because if anyone is in Christ, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. It's better inside. So much better inside. To be in Christ is to experience the liberty of God. That's what Paul tells the Galatians and us in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 4. We have liberty. We've been freed. We've been freed from the penalty of sin, judgment from God, hell for all eternity, meaninglessness in this life, hopelessness. We've been freed from that. We've been freed from the power of sin. Or I should say, we are being freed from the power of sin. We have the ability to say no to sin, not in our own strength, but God working in us by that power that Hannah sang about, the power of the cross. And one day, we're going to be freed from the very presence of sin. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus. There's liberty and there's unity. It doesn't matter, Paul says to the Galatians, if you're a Jew or a Gentile. You're united. It doesn't matter if you're a male or a female. If you're in Christ, you're united. It doesn't matter if you're at the top or the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder. It doesn't matter if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. You are united in Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's better inside. And so if I'm inside, and I know that being better, and I know that it's better to be inside than outside, would I not want to get outside to invite the people who are missing all of this to come inside where it's infinitely better? Wouldn't I do that? If I was in a warm building and there was plenty of room and I saw someone standing outside in the cold, wouldn't I want to go outside and invite them to come inside where they could be warm? We can ask ourselves this question. Do I want others to experience the better? Do I? Do I really care? Do I care enough to get outside in 2018 in order to invite those who were outside to come inside where they can experience what is better? Might I say, what is best? So there's one motivation to get outside. Get outside of our comfort zone. Get outside of what we know is not risky. Get outside of what is convenient. Get outside because it's better inside. Secondly, get outside because it's expected of those inside. It's expected of those inside. We might ask ourselves as we start this year out, whose expectations are we seeking to live up to? Are we trying to impress and please others? If so, you know whose expectations those are? They're really ours, aren't they? They're mine. My expectation may be that you would think highly of me. Or you would think more highly of me than you did before. Now, I'm not saying that that's always a bad thing. That can be a good thing. But if it's my expectations that are at the top of the list, then whose expectations are not at the top of the list? God's. For those who are inside, it's what God expects of us that should direct our lives. And God expects those who are inside to go to those who are outside. The expectation for those who are inside to get outside are the expectations of none other than God Himself. Now, how can I say that with confidence? Well, it's because of what the Lord Jesus said Himself to His disciples before He went back to heaven. And He wasn't just talking to those few individuals that day at that time. Rather, they were the beginning of a long line of successors, followers of the Lord Jesus. Many, most, we wonder if it was all of us us that are in this room. And what did he say to them and to us? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I can't go into all the world if I'm not willing to get outside. If I'm not willing to be where the people who are outside, I can promise you, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hang on to that. I'll make the promise later. All right. What else did he say? Same scenario. Matthew 28. Matthew records these words of the Lord Jesus. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. In Acts chapter 1, where we read about the power to do that, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them and upon us, we find that we're to start locally. He says, all nations, every creature, but he tells them there in Acts, you need to start right where you are. Jerusalem for them, Greensboro maybe, Guilford County, wherever you live, that's where it starts for us. To get outside, to bring ourselves into contact with, to be involved with, to reach out to those who are outside. So here's our question for this motivation. Will you, by God's grace, seek to live up to His expectations this year rather than your own? We talked last Sunday morning about goals that we would set, and goals that are good and helpful and beneficial. We talked about an overarching goal, the goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That we might have our attention focused on Him, that we might lay hold of what He has laid hold of us for, that we might be like the Lord Jesus. To be like the Lord Jesus is to leave your comfort zone. The Lord left heaven. I'm not saying that was His comfort zone in any type of negative way whatsoever, but obviously, being in heaven was much preferable to being on earth in a human body, feeling pain and hunger and loneliness and rejection and ultimately a painful, gruesome death. The Lord Jesus was willing to do the will of His Father. And that's what He prayed. Lord, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, but not my will, but Your will be done. And He followed through. Will you, by God's grace, seek to live up to His expectations? Will I do that this year? Will I be willing to get out of my comfort zone and to get outside to those who are outside? Will I get outside this year? Well, how about number three as we move along? Number three, we need to get outside because it's healthy for those inside. You see, there's a health benefit, actually, for those who are inside. You see, now, when we think about this in a literal, physical way, we think, well, we need to get outside and walk in nature because that's good for your health. It's good for your muscles. It's good for your heart, for your lungs, for your mind, for your emotions. It's good to get out and take a walk. I'm not suggesting necessarily that you do it today, but hey, it's okay. It looks like maybe the sun's out. But as you can, I encourage you, get outside and take a walk. It's all right to walk inside, but there's something about walking outside. It's good for our health. But we're talking here about spiritual health. And you see, getting outside to, as we read here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Notice there, I told you we were going to get back here. Notice there in verse 5 of Colossians 4, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. So of course, a walk in the New Testament, when used figuratively, speaks of a lifestyle, the way that we live our lives, the way that we function, the way that we interact with ourselves, with our environment, and particularly with other people. Walk wisely. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:12, we read that we're to walk properly toward those who are outside. And we should do that because, among other reasons, it is good for our spiritual health. It's good for our spiritual health personally. I was thinking about Romans chapter 5. Again, hold your place and go quickly to Romans 5. I want you to look at these verses with me here for a moment. Romans chapter 5. And we think about how as individual believers, this walking and getting outside into situations that are uncomfortable, potentially dangerous, and often inconvenient, can actually benefit our spiritual health. In what sense? Notice here in Romans chapter 5, the first four verses. He speaks of those who were inside. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're inside Christ. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We're inside. We're in this grace. We're standing here. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Everything is sounding hunky-dory to this point. Look at verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, when we allow ourselves and we step out to be obedient to God's will for us, even though it may be uncomfortable, and often it is, even though it may be somewhat dangerous, and usually it is, even though it's probably inconvenient, and it seems like it always is, yet we find that these very opportunities are opportunities for our own spiritual health. Because that tribulation is going to produce perseverance in us to keep us going. That perseverance is going to develop our character to be like the Lord Jesus. And that character is going to result in hope. We're going to look toward the future. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul speaks of God telling him that his grace was sufficient for Paul because God's strength would be made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, you know what? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I get into a situation reaching out to live and to speak the gospel, and it's going to be difficult, he says, you know, I find that in those situations I have a strength that has nothing to do with me, because I'm weak. And I'll confess to you this morning, I'm weak. Often in those situations of getting outside, of going out to those who are outside, I often experience a weakness of heart, a weakness of mind, a weakness of fortitude. But when I'm willing to be obedient, I find myself experiencing the strength of God. Those in the life groups have been studying the book of James, and very early in the book of James, James writes, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Well, it's also healthy for the body of Christ. It's healthy for the local assembly. We read in Ephesians chapter 4, that we're to speak the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's healthy for other believers to see you get outside. It's healthy for other believers and for the local assembly to hear about how you got outside and what God did in that. It builds up the body. It strengthens other believers. You see, we are designed to get outside. God has designed us like that. I remember years ago when we got our dog Rocky. And Rocky had he was about a year old when we got him. He's a Belgian Malinois, a pretty good sized dog. And the owner had kept him in a small crate inside during the day when he's at work, and then he would be free to roam in the house when he was home. So we did the same thing. And after a couple of months, it was Kim and I were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary, and so we went on a trip. And we had to leave the dog with my parents, and so I brought the crate over there to put it in the house, and my dad said, "He's a dog. He's an animal. He was designed to live outside." And I scratched my head and thought, that's true. You know why he lives outside now, by the way, and he's doing great. He won't even go in his doghouse when it's 8 degrees. He loves it outside. He was designed to be outside. We are designed to get outside with the gospel. So the question for us is, are we willing to suffer pain for gain? We see that it's healthy. It's beneficial for us who are inside when we get outside. And the very reason that it's beneficial is because it's difficult. Now, there are some in this room who are gifted as evangelists. And some of you who are gifted as evangelists, you're thinking, what's he talking about uncomfortable? I don't get this thing about inconvenience. I don't know what he means by dangerous, but praise God for you who are gifted in that way. But for most of us, it's tough to get outside. You know what? Getting outside and dealing with the awkwardness, dealing with the rejection, dealing with the questions, dealing with the uncertainty, dealing with the messed up lives of people, that's good for us. It's healthy. It's health producing. Are we willing to suffer pain to gain? If so, let's get outside. Let's get outside. One final one. Let's get outside because it's essential for those who are outside. It's essential for those who are outside for us to get outside. Let me give you four quick reasons as we wrap this up this morning. First of all, it's essential for those who are outside that we get outside so that they can see us. So that they can see us, as we've already mentioned, walking in wisdom. And notice what the Spirit of God says through Paul. Walking in wisdom toward them. Walking properly in an appropriate way toward them. So that they can see that in our lives. So they can see the way that we live. So they can see the way that we interact with them at work. To see the way that we interact with them in the store. To see the way that we interact with them in the neighborhood. To see the way that we interact with them in the home. Or wherever we may be, that they may see that we are walking in a way toward them that is wise. They may not see the wisdom in it. Or they may not even think that it's proper, but we know. That it is according to God, and they need to see that. They need to see us not judging them. We read that in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 12. Paul said, you know, it's not your job to deal with the sin of unbelievers. God's going to do that. And we have a responsibility to deal with sin within those who were inside. But it's not our job to judge them. So they need to see us interacting with them in love. Now, it doesn't mean that we accept everything they do and that we never say anything about sin. I'm not saying that. But what do they see in me when I interact with them? So they say, oh, there's Mark Shelley. Yeah, every time he sees me, he's judging me. All he can do is tell me about what I shouldn't be doing. That's not our responsibility. We tell them about the Lord Jesus. We need to tell them about sin, definitely. We need to tell them about the Lord Jesus, about the solution. That they can see us having a good testimony among them. That was speaking particularly of elders, but that's true of every believer. Every believer, they can't see our testimony unless we're out where they are, getting outside. Also, so that they can ask for answer to their questions. If you've still got Colossians 4 marked there. Go back and notice what he says in verse 6 in this context. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. What? That you may know how you ought to answer each one. That word answer in the Greek is a word that presupposes something coming before it. So it's either a response to a question or a response to what someone did, but it's a response, okay? So they will have questions. Hopefully they are honest questions, and they need to be able to ask for our accurate, sacrificial, and sensitive answers to their questions. Hopefully about themselves and about God and about truth. Also, so that they can hear. Oh, we just read that there in verse 6. Let your speech always... Wow, didn't that word get you right there? Let your speech always be with grace. Well, come on. I mean, you know, I'll try to be... Always? Well, I'm sorry, Mark, but that's what Paul's telling you. And it's not just Paul, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Scripture. Always with grace, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. What is seasoning? It makes something flavorful. It makes something attractive. It makes someone want that, desire that. Oh, they should desire to hear what we say. They need to hear our gracious words, our gracious conversation, a meaningful and informed interaction with them, talking about things that matter. Our gracious, attractive words should be words of concern, that we show a sincere interest in them. Not as a notch on our biblical belt. Not as our fulfilling our duty to speak to someone about the Lord Jesus today, but that we are truly involved and caring about their lives to the extent that they will allow us and that it's practical. And then that Christ is in our conversation. That we have a gospel-saturated interaction with them. Whether we are sharing the gospel directly, or the gospel is just impacting and funneling what we are saying and how we are saying it. Everything that I say should go back to the gospel. That Christ died for my sins, and was buried and rose again and was seen. Everything ought to go back to that, because that is why I have the life that I have. Life in Christ. Life in the body. Life in the church. Life in the faith. It's all because of Him. That should impact everything I do. And as Romans chapter 10 tells us, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's not just a preacher to stand before a group. That's an individual person to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live it out before people and to speak of it as God opens the doors. And finally, it's essential that we get outside. It's essential for those outside so that they have time. Notice there at the end of verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. That means taking advantage of every opportunity. That's a big conviction for me right there. Every opportunity, I need to take advantage of that. So will I take what may be their last opportunity to see and hear the gospel? Am I willing to take that? And it may be my last opportunity. It may be my last opportunity with that person. It may be my last opportunity ever to walk in wisdom towards someone who is outside. Because the end of my life is going to come. And so you see, we need to get outside. It's better inside. That's a motivation. Because it's expected of those of us who are inside. Because it's healthy for those who are inside. Because it's essential for those who are outside. Get outside today. And tomorrow, get outside of our comfort zones. Look for opportunities that God is bringing. They're there all the time. But unfortunately, I can be standing this close to someone who is outside, and I could still be only inside. I could be shoulder to shoulder and still not really be with those who are outside. It's more than geography. Let's do this together in 2018. for the glory of God. I'm going to pray. Our brother's going to play one verse. I just want to get you to think about how you will respond specifically to this challenge for this year. I want you to come up with one thing, one specific response for you, and then I want to encourage you to share that with somebody else before this day is out. Father, thank you for our time in your word, our time singing, our time praying, our time fellowshipping. Lord, it's been a wonderful morning. We thank you for the opportunity that many of us took earlier this morning to gather to remember your son. What a special time that was and always is. And Father, we think about those who are outside this morning, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, some of them think they are inside, but they're not. Father, some of them don't even believe in you. Father, some of them are totally oblivious to the things that we are talking about and concerned about. But Lord, you love every one of them. You are not willing that any one of them should perish. It's your will that they all should come to repentance and to a knowledge of the truth. Father, you use us. You could have used angels, but you've chosen to use us who were inside to get outside with the good news, the gospel. Father, may our lives show it. May our lips tell it. Father, we confess that we're often weak, we're afraid, we're lazy, we're too comfortable. Lord, convict us and help us to know that it's not our strength, it's your strength. Father, we're just vessels. You've put this treasure in earthen vessels, jars of clay, so the glory may be of you. Lord, it's not about us, it's about you using us. Father, may we be yielded. Thank you so much for bringing us inside. Thank you for those who came outside to us. Father, may we be faithful this year. May we encourage one another. Thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus who came outside to us. In his name we pray. Amen.